This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Here for another episode of Believe in Kentucky. AG Aaron Gershon from the Cat's Paws. Name is Vinny Hardy. AG, man, we got all kind of stuff to talk about today, man. And look, I can't even lie. All these booms have been great, but this one hits a little bit more different.
Yeah, you got to start with that. Let's just give you the floor early. I mean, you're from Lynch, Kentucky, Harlan County, and you were what? You were at Rupp for the whole time during their Sweet 16 run. You were there for a good part of it, right?
Yeah, I went up for the first game on Thursday when they played Warren Central. Wasn't able to stay for all of it, but you know, everybody was there. Everybody from the county was there, and it's a typical story when a small team makes it to Sweet 16. The whole line shut the lights out. When the last person to leave town shut the lights out because they are going to be erupting. And Harlan County was up there. I forget the stat. First team from the 13th region to win a game, and it's been quite a while. Maybe since Clay County and Richie Farmer. So we're talking 30 some years, I think. So been one and done. Whoever won the region, go to Rupp, lose. Before they consolidated, my high school, Cumberland, made it. It was an improbable run. They were like 11 and 13, got hot. Kind of like UConn did that one year. Mm. Just you rip through the Big East tournament and then win the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, well, NC State did this series.
Yeah, that's who. Yeah, they won the district tournament, won the region, got the Rupp, and I think played a team from Bowling Green, got beat. But it was, you know, I had to go. I took off work, and I said, look, man, they might just be one and done. I'm going to be there. Same thing for Harlan County, and they beat Warren Central, beat Evangel Christian and Campbell County, you know, down 17 to Campbell County, and just force overtime and then win going away, get to the final against Lyon County, of course, come up a little bit short. But, I mean, unbelievable run. You look at Trent's stat line in all those games. I mean, he had a 48-point game, had a couple 30-point games, and just a lot of good rebound numbers, too. It wasn't just scoring, you know, guys, he's versatile. So everybody was proud, too. He's committed to South Carolina already. We were talking before we came on, the offers that he had gotten. You would see him tweet out different coaches coming in and having a look or making an offer and all that, you know, Stanford and Dayton and like Coastal Carolina. You think you said Butler was on there. A lot of different schools that offered. South Carolina's only SEC offer. And like, okay, hope he goes and has a great career. You know, hate we couldn't beat Travis Perry, but looking forward to rooting for you down in Columbia for Lamont Paris and them. And then we had the whirlwind Cal to Arkansas. Of course, he didn't get a look from Cal.
Nope.
Pope comes in, and I'm still wrapping my head around the Pope hire. We talked about that at great length and
yep. You know,
the whole process. I want to say Jeff Drummond was the first guy I saw talk about, hey, I wonder maybe if Pope will give a look to Trent Noah or offer. I hadn't even thought that far ahead yet. I'm still like, whoa, Mark Pope. Whoa, okay. Yeah, all right. I'm still at that stage, and he's already, yeah. Maybe Pope should talk to Noah. I'm like, oh, I said, that'd be awesome. That would be great. And, you know, I tried not to get too excited. There's a whole, you know, he's already signed a letter of intent and that whole thing. And is it, you know, how's he even going to be contacted? Would have to be, it's a process. It ain't like you can just step up to him and holler at him since he is already committed. So I just wouldn't let myself get too excited. And then you put out an article yesterday about him being released from his commitment, of several reports about him. You know, he put it on Twitter or Instagram and social media that he had been granted a release from his national letter of intent. So then, okay, well, that's the first step. Ooh, get excited now. He's, you right. know, Lamont Paris, I'm sure you got to understand if it's Kentucky, but your article, Tennessee's going to be involved and Louisville's involved. Growing up where I grew up, it's on the Kentucky-Tennessee border. I know I'm rambling, getting long-winded. I apologize, everybody.
I'll be.
But, you know, we went to school with kids who were Tennessee fans, had teachers that were Tennessee fans. We're pretty much the same distance from Lexington as we are to Knoxville. You know, from where I am, I'm about 25 minutes from where Trent is. I grew up in Lynch. He's from Baxter. He's right beside of Harlan. But it's 2 hours and change to Knoxville, 2 hours and change to Lexington for him. So you saw the opportunities closer to home. I was just cautious. I couldn't assume it was a foregone conclusion that is, hey, Kentucky, because I'm like, well, I don't know if he's a Kentucky fan, or if he's a Tennessee fan, don't know who he grew up rooting for. You know, Rick Barnes is going to tell him, look, he's going to sell. Well, look what we did with Dalton Connect. You know, he's
right.
Yeah, look what this kid did. 6'6", 6'7", great score, great length. You know, you could out. So I just wouldn't let myself get too fired up. And then we see the boom today, and you saw the Joker boom that Figure put out, and he had the Joker on his shorts, and the guys pick out the booms that they want. And I was like, okay, he picked out that boom.
That's it.
Here we go. Trent is a cat. It moves so quick. Everybody's just so excited and love all the booms, but this one's just a little more special. I'm just, you know.
No, absolutely. And I mean, this is your example here is why, you know, you go to Rupp Arena and you hear those ovations are just different for the kids from Kentucky. It's exactly what you explained, having a firsthand experience with this specific player. But now, you know, Trent's going to have the same experience where he steps on the floor. I mean, it's just going to be a showering ovation. He's going to be beloved by this fan base, and the same for Travis Perry. And I mean, I couldn't tell you when's the last time, if ever, the two best high school players in the state in the same year are going to team up together, let alone, you know, they went at it in the state championship game. I mean, that's some really, really cool stuff. And Pope had a quote in his intro press conference, how the kids from Kentucky that come to play at Kentucky are just like the heartbeat, the soul of this team. They get it more than anyone. And he couldn't be more accurate. So this is a great day for Trent. I saw the pictures he shared wearing, you know, the John Wall t-shirt and all that. I forgot what former player. I think it was Jared Polson maybe. Took a picture with him back in the day. So I'm sure this is a dream come true for him. And it's awesome. It's awesome for the state. And it's important from a basketball perspective. You know, we've talked about it. The one with this roster, they're at 10 guys now. Half of those guys, no matter what, won't be here next year because you have 5 fifth-year seniors coming in. Carissa, Berea, Carr, Williams, and Butler are all going to be one and done, you know, as fifth-year seniors. So, and then, you know, Garrison was a McDonald's All-American. Like, if he has a big year, he could be a draft pick in 25. You know, Otega Owa, if he has a massive year, he could hit the draft. So you need some guys who are going to stick around and develop a little bit. And now you have three freshmen, none of which are, I think, it would be an even bigger stunner than Reed Sheppard, like a way bigger stunner than Reed Sheppard, if any of those three guys are one and done. So you get three guys that you can work with, play some minutes this year, get better, get, you know, their feet wet, know the system, know how Mark Pope operates. Going to be high effort guys, so you don't really have to worry about hitting the portal unless something goes horribly wrong. It's great to have, you know, between Perry, Noah, and Chandler. So great addition. If, you know, you had four more spots left, I thought it was really important, honestly, to go get a guy who had 3 to 4 years of eligibility. And I don't think you could pick a better guy than a sharpshooter in a 3-point heavy offense that loves Kentucky, is from Kentucky, you know, Harlan County, doesn't get more Kentucky than Trent Noah. And you add him, you know, in the mix here. So this is definitely a really exciting day. Like you said, it happened really quick. I mean, I could have told you, like, when I saw that yesterday, it would probably be Kentucky. I would have been surprised. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like you said, Rick Barnes could have had a selling point. Pat Kelsey's got, you know, still spots on his roster to fill. There are other opportunities close to home, but you know, all Mark Pope had to do was ask, and it was kind of going to be a similar thing to when Pope was called. He's like, yes, I think it was probably, we'll ask Trent when we get to talk to him for the first time, but I think it was probably similar where Trent was like, yep, where do I sign? Because that NIL, that was as quick as I've seen a national letter of intent get in. So cool stuff all around.
And you made the point of, you know, when's the last time the best two players in the state, we end up on the same team. I don't know if they're the best two, but Pope played with two guys who went at it in the state tournament. You know, Anthony Epps and Cameron Mills played in the state tournament. Anthony Epps was at Marion County. Cameron Mills was at Dunbar, and Epps's team won the state tournament. I don't know where Cameron was ranked. I don't know where Epps was ranked either, as far as are they the best two in the state, but they were on two of the better teams in the state.
It was before recruiting rankings, so
right
know exactly.
Like 93 maybe they went head to head in the state tournament. And so now, you know, Pope plays with two guys, and now he's coaching two guys who went at it in the tournament. So it's, to me, you know, he recreated the 90s with the presser, with the bus into Europe, and now he's playing with two guys that go at it in the state tournament. Now he's coaching two in the state tournament. So just, you know, just crazy how that works out. And, you know, he was on a team with Kentucky guys on it, you know, that, so he knows what that means. He saw it every day with, you know, Epps, you know, great football player too. And Epps, like he said, you know, he said, I didn't go and make millions, but I made a lot of millionaires. He played and was this, basically the straw that stirred the drink for a lot of those teams, you know, once they switched him to point guard. So, yeah, man. Exciting. It happened fast.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just – you hoped it would be that way, and just glad it turned out that way. I wasn't going to be mad at him no matter what he decided to do. I'm not going to be that guy. If he'd have picked Tennessee, I mean, hey,
you got to do well.
Yeah. You know, Chris Lofton went to Tennessee and did well. You know, he's from right there in Mason County. So glad it's working out the way it has. And, you know, Trent, you know, he's going to have to come and earn it, but he can play. He's
absolutely,
he can shoot. He's 6'6", got a good frame, and, you know, going to get stronger and add weight to that frame. And the rebound, he didn't just score in the state tournament. You know, he had double-digit rebounds. And I mean,
you don't average 30 points in a season if you can't play a little ball.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he put up video game numbers. I get, you know, maybe the competition in that 13th region, you know, isn't D1 competition, right? But we've seen Reed Sheppard played in that region and ended up pretty damn good at the college level. Like, it can be done. And this kid, like you said, he has a really good frame to him. I mean, 6'6", 200 pounds, you know. Mm-hmm. He's not going to need a ton of body work, you wouldn't think, you know, like some of these kids who are on the smaller side might. And again, he's not going to be asked to come in and play 25 minutes. He might play 10 minutes a game max. Like, he's not going to be a guy. I don't think he's going to play a ton this year. And that's, I think, a good thing for him. I think that's a good thing about what Mark Pope is doing. There's a plan in place to develop certain guys, you know, pick your spots with them in year one. And then, you know, then you start developing. There's just, there's so, this roster is so much more scheme fit, methodical, years, who has how many years left. I mean, it's just, it was something Kentucky has needed for a long time. And, you know, when you could add the developmental piece as, you know, the top players from the state of Kentucky, I mean, that's a lot of fun. And then, you know, this state, man, 2025, the class next year, I mean, I know Jasper's playing his high school ball elsewhere, but you have Jasper Johnson, who I think Kentucky's still in a pretty good spot with, despite the coaching change. You have Malachi Moreno from right up the road in Georgetown. Yeah. I mean, EJ Walker, even from El Ranger. I mean, there's a lot of talent. The state is producing players at a high rate, and it's really cool to see in year one. You know, obviously, you had already had Perry committed, but you still have to go and solidify things. Pope does that. And now he goes and gets Trent Noah when he re-hits the open market. So it was a promise he kind of made in that introductory press conference. Like, we haven't gotten to test those promises out yet. And that's the first one that has been tested and already kept in less than a month here.
Yeah. And the next promise, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but the next promise you're going to test is what, the crumble cookie promise?
Yeah, well, right? Yeah. I didn't see that clip till today, but yes.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, he will be hearing it from us if he doesn't hold to it. I can't promise nicer questions, but I can promise I'd appreciate that. And it's not necessarily Mark Stoops who does it, but every Monday before our weekly football press conference at noon, there's always lunch at Kroger Field for us. So, you know, they take care of us over on that side of campus. Like, let's do it on North Campus too now.
Yeah, and man, crumble, man. You can't go wrong with those.
No, absolutely not. It might not be best for, you know, my physical being and my body, but once a week, maybe even twice a week if he's going to talk to us twice a week, which is double the amount we've talked to the head coach in recent years. So,
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Would be like during the season with the pregame, whatever, the Monday, Tuesday one, or
usually we will get some sort of pregame before every game, you know. But Cal hasn't how it's been the last 2 years, it's an assistant coach on one of those days and then two players on the other day. You know, in recent, just going back a couple of years ago, Cal would at least do the front, which he doesn't have to do every game, but he would at least do every one before a Saturday game. And I was fine with that. I think everyone on the beat was totally okay with that. And he would do both games, you know, before SEC play started. So there was really no hard feelings there. It's just when you start not talking at all, it's like, ridiculous. I think he did one pregame press conference this year, and it was the Champions Classic. And I think the year before that, he did two. It was the Champions Classic and then Duquesne. That was it. So three in the last 2 years. So I have a feeling we'll have three within 2 weeks with Mark Pope.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Joe from Harlem. Glad he's going to UK.
Yeah.
Good for him. Absolutely. That is the sentiment from home and statewide, but especially
no doubt
from home. We're not going to just keep harping at Cal and staring at Cal because, you know, he's moved on and we are too, but
Just pointing out how it's just a breath of fresh air. It's not even – you could argue you like that stuff and we're fine that he didn't talk to the media. But it's just the differences that this program, I think, just needed.
Yeah.
Just pointing them out. Not even trying to go down the rabbit hole of ripping him.
No. And I'm not either. I'm just – and we had Porter Hayes from the Hog Talk on, and he's, you know, getting to see Cal every day with down there in Fayetteville. The documentary that they have come out with from the Arkansas perspective, called Cal and the Chicken Man, with the behind the scenes of how Cal got hired. How can we have a documentary after like two weeks?
Yeah.
How do you binge it in like 10 minutes? What's going on?
I did watch, I'll say this. I watched it and I want to give credit to the guy who did it, because I don't want to say there was some good stuff. It was well put together. It wasn't like a school, like it was professionally done. It was very, very good work. Not going to dispute the work. I'll give him his credit there. It was all about, you know, the hiring process. So I get that, but I agree. Like that, he's been on the job for a month. He hasn't coached a basketball game. You know, he doesn't have a full roster yet. Again, he might do great there. I think he's doing a pretty good job of the roster, you know, all that. But like, definitely when I saw there was a documentary already, I was like, wow, like these fans. And look, Cal needed that. He needed a fan base that was going to eat him up, was going to love everything he did, was going to just be, you know, just totally head over heels in love with him, because he hasn't he used to have that here and he lost it. Right. Mm-hmm. So he needed to have that again, and maybe that'll rejuvenate him. Their fan base is eating it all up. And, you know, my advice to Kentucky fans is, you know, let them have it.
Yeah.
It'll play out on the court. Let them be happy. I think two things can be true, where it's probably a good move for Arkansas that might pay off, and that it probably wasn't going to happen here. It might happen there. Maybe just needed some motivation. Who knows? Mm-hmm. And you could also be at peace with the fact that Kentucky seems to be in much better shape than any of us kind of expected when we all first saw that Mark Pope was going to be the hire. So I just think there needs to be, I'm not going to tell fans how to fan, but it's just like, let them do what they got to do out there. It doesn't affect you until, you know, that day when they're playing each other on the court. But I get it. There's always going to be that discourse between the two fan bases. But it is what it is. It's over with. It's done with. Kentucky's got 10 players and four new assistant coaches, a new head coach. Like, Cal is in the past.
Yeah, yeah. But I was just shocked that, like you said,
crazy that there's already a
knock about the hiring process. I was going to – I mean, like, he just threw out the first pitch. I don't even know if that's going to make the cut.
Didn't.
You know?
Yeah, it didn't. I'm
not looking to just say stuff about it, but I'm like, man, that's a little quick.
It was very, very quick. Like, it's going to be an interesting doc to look back upon, depending on how it goes. Yeah, right?
I mean, at least wait and get the Hogs version of Big Blue Madness in there, and then go a doc, and then do another one after season. But no, hey, you know. Hey, do what you want to do. I'm just, hey, look, we're sitting here talking about it, but
you're getting what you want. You're getting reaction. You got a view, at least one view from me. So, look, again, it was well done for what it was. No doubt about it. Hard to wrap our head around the fact there's a documentary for, like you said, something that literally just broke.
Try as hard as you can. You can only get so much content out of
the
short amount of time that he's been down there. That's my
thing. Like, no content. Like, content from campus. So it was a lot of interviews with writers on the Arkansas beat. It was definitely interesting to see how you can get less than a month worth of content into a 30-minute doc. But he got it done, so give him credit.
Absolutely. So like we mentioned, a lot of Kentucky kids coming home, you know, we talked about Trent Noah already, different paths to do it. You know, Trent had I'm at South Carolina, Cal had looked at me, here comes Pope. Hey, and like you said, that's a perfect point. Hey, Trent, would you like to? Yes. Just like,
yes, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, that's probably how it went. I don't want to make an assumption, but
and then we have Gavin Wimsett, who kind of takes the Wandale Robinson path, you know, goes and plays at Rutgers for a couple of years, just like Wandale went to Nebraska for a couple of years. No bridge burned in recruiting. And now, you know, that pays off for Vince Merrill and those guys. You add more depth to your quarterback room. He's played in some games. You know, Rutgers typically down, you know, bottom part of the conference, you know, sometimes the Vanderbilt or the Big Ten or whatever, but he's thrown 62 touchdowns. Completion percentage isn't great, but he's been out there in the fire and he can run. He adds depth for BVG, you know, Vandegrift, you know, another guy in case he gets banged up. You hope he doesn't, but you got a guy that has actually played and been there. So I think a cool move would bring him back, man.
Yeah, I think it's I love it. I think it's actually an important move. And, you know, you love what you saw from Bo Allen. He's improved a lot. Cutter Bully's not going to be ready yet. Like, he's going to redshirt this year. I don't think that was ever a dispute. We'll see where he's at, you know, this time next year as far as, you know, we'll see how everyone does in the quarterback room, right? I guess if Brock Vandegrift has an amazing year, he could be in the NFL draft, and then you have to reassess the starting job. But whatever. Like, Cutter is a redshirt guy. And then you have Bo as a backup. Now you add Wymstat. And I think, you know, starting with the first point you made, I'd love to go through all the transfers they've added in the portal era and see how many guys they recruited out of high school and then reconnected with. I mean, I think that's and that was something I've asked, you know, Stoops and Merrill in the past. And I think they've done a really good job at when they lose a recruiting battle in high school, just like you said, not burning bridges, not taking it personally. And you kind of have to in this era of college basketball, college athletics, where, you know, you never know. Like, look, if Trent Noah stayed and signed with South Carolina, had a great year, and found himself in the portal, and, like, with Cal, you wouldn't have been able to get him back, probably. But now with Pope, like, you could have made some things happen, right? Even guys that they just miss out on in recruiting going forward, I think. And Cal did it, too. He had some guys that he had recruited in the past that they got to transfer in. So, you know, this year alone, Jalen Farmer was a guy they pushed really hard for out of high school. Gerald Mincy was committed to Kentucky out of high school and then, you know, flipped to Florida. Gavin Wymstat now. DJ Waller is the other one that just signed 2 weeks ago or so. The cornerback who went to Michigan from Youngstown, now coming back to Kentucky. JQ Hardaway last year. Just guys that they build these relationships with. They don't burn bridges, and, you know, they end up getting the rewards of having them back in the future. So that's always a really good sign when that continues to happen. I think it shows a lot and says a lot about, you know, the type of people are on this Kentucky coaching staff. But with Wymstat specifically, I just think you needed to have an experienced guy in that room, right? I mean, Vandegrift, I think I've loved everything I've heard and seen from him, but he's never started a college game before. When he steps on that field against Southern Miss, like, even Will Levis had made a start at Penn State. When Brock Vandegrift steps on the field August 31st, it's going to be his first career start. Mm-hmm. And then a week later, he's playing in an SEC game, and 2 weeks later, he's playing – his former team and Kirby Smart. So, like, he's been getting thrown into the wolves here. And I just, and you know, you just need to have, God forbid there is that injury, you don't want to go into a situation where, like, poor Kaya Sharon last year, or 2022, that is, where Will Levis is out and you have to go play. I know South Carolina wasn't great, but you have to go play an SEC defense in your first career start, having hardly ever seen the field before. Right. Mm-hmm. They never really got into a situation even earlier that season where they could play the backup a lot. So now this gives you a guy in Wymstat who started all 13 games last year, started six the year before that, 19 career starts in the Big Ten, probably the second best football conference behind the SEC against didn't play well, but played against an elite defenses like Iowa. Didn't play well in that game, I'm saying. Played against Michigan, played against Ohio State, Penn State. I mean, you're talking some of the best defenses in America. It's experience against that. And like you said off the top, he can run, which is going to be a really important component of this offense. Buschanvin said at day one that you have to, in college football right now, you have to run the quarterback. You obviously have to be calculated, and you can't go out and risk injury with these guys, but you can't not run them. It's an important part of college football. And we saw Brock Vandegrift run all over the field during the spring game.
Yeah.
So Gavin Wymstat's a guy who ran for over 400 yards last year, ran for 7 or 8 touchdowns, something like that. And so you're going to need him. I think you're not gonna need him to start, but you're gonna want someone with that type of experience as your backup. It's important to have in that quarterback room. So he immediately becomes the most experienced guy in that room. He gives you an option where you're at least not dreading if Brock Vandegrift can't go. And it's a guy too that, again, like, if Brock Vandegrift has a superstar year, ends up because next year's draft class stinks, right? It's Carson Beck, maybe Shedeur Sanders if he could keep his mouth shut, right? And then I don't know, right? So that's quarterback class. So if Brock Vandegrift goes out and has an amazing year, he, you know, that could be your starting quarterback. So I like this addition a lot. And he's, again, another guy from Kentucky that the fans are familiar with, that they really wanted, obviously, back when they were recruiting him. So I just think it's a win-win for all sides. I think it says a lot about Gavin that he is coming in. He was definitely briefed and knows that he is not the starting quarterback. Like, it's Brock Vandegrift's job. He still chose to be here. So a lot to like about this one.
Absolutely. Coming to y'all courtesy of the Believe Podcast Network, as always, live streaming on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Got some comments. We're going to get some of them and put them up on the screen. Definitely appreciate y'all hopping on and watching and following and subscribing. If you haven't done that, do feel free to do that as well. That way you can keep up with each episode that we put out. Going to backtrack a little bit, College Sports Cast put up a good question. We're talking football now. Serious question. Over recruiting the quarterback position, do we lose a commitment or a transfer? Because, you know, quarterbacks are made to transfer to Ohio Mummy line. But
yeah, so the portal's closed, so you don't have to worry about that, even for grads. So it wouldn't be this year. I mean, hypothetically, could Bo Allen or Cutter Bowley leave after this season? Yeah, I don't see that happening with Cutter. I think he knew he was going to be a redshirt this year no matter what. He was going to be third string. Now you just bump him down to fourth. What's the real difference there? So, no, I don't think you're going to lose Cutter. You're definitely not losing Brock. Maybe even Wine.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That hits re-enters the portal after this year, right? So, no, I actually think, if anything, you know, you look next, it is going to be interesting because 2025, you're bringing in two quarterbacks with Stone Saunders, and the other name is it's tripping me right now. So, yeah, do you run the risk of a Cutter Bowley transferring after this season? Bo Allen, maybe Weinstadt? Sure, no doubt about it. Or maybe – I think Saunders is completely solid, but maybe the other kid that they've added decommits. I honestly don't know all too much about the second one yet. I mean, sure, that's entirely possible, but you can't mess around and be left without depth at quarterback and be left without a quarterback that has – significant starting experience. So this is a, in my opinion, a position where you worry about the now, the here and now, and we'll see what happens in the future, but you've got to have that security blanket.
Yeah, for sure. Kentucky 3D Creations, what's up? Hey, appreciate you coming in and watching and listening to the episode. Flipping back to basketball, nice to have 13 Scullies. Can you have a couple of Kentucky boys on the team? What's the point that day?
That's for sure. Why not?
That makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I don't know if they're going to use all 13, honestly. I think they will at least take two more, and then that last spot they might kind of leave up to maybe a late reclass or something. Or they'll just fill them. It's going to be one or the other. Or they won't fill them, is what I mean. Either that'll be – my guess is either it'll be just be 12 or they'll hold that spot and use it later or not use it at all. That's my guess. Could be wrong. Maybe they take 13, but I totally agree. If they're going to fill it to 12, why not take the next best player in the state of Kentucky who, like we were saying at the top, has a great frame, played his best basketball in the highest pressure situations in Rupp Arena. is a four-star prospect, like has all the accolades you need to at least be considered by Kentucky. It's a no-brainer. I'm glad it got done.
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to the quarterback draft class, which I don't, he hasn't scored on fire either, but they said, you know, Ubers, Broncos.
I'm just not a big Quinn Ewers fan. I just don't see it. Like, he was really good in the Big 12 title game, but man, I just think, I don't know. I don't see him as a pro. I don't see it yet. Maybe he'll be better this year, but or at least sell me more this year. I'm always open to being proven wrong, but Carson Beck, I see it for sure. I see it with Shador on the field. You want to see some things mature off of it. And after that,
it's going to be guys that blossom and have great years. Like you said, you know, could
rock.
DVG do that? He could be that one of those guys. Absolutely. It's not just cut and dry, boom, 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 like we saw 15 quarterbacks go in the first three picks this past year. It's not going to be that next year. And staying on that note, when you look at the schedule, you know, we had a question last week, could Kentucky be a playoff team? Could Kentucky be better and maybe the record not show because the schedule is so tough? Yes. But on the flip side, who, when you look at the schedule, are some teams that may surprise you and have a down year, not be as good and as tough as you think on paper? You know, we always look at, at Ole Miss, oh, that's tough. Oh, got to go to Texas, that's tough. And Kentucky's got to make sure they are on point all year and not dropping games like you do to a Vanderbilt and to a South Carolina. Now, it's hard to do that over 12 games. Everybody has their ups and downs. But, you know, who were some teams that, well, it turns out they weren't as tough as we thought. Or they're having a disappointing season. Who maybe jumps out of some of those teams?
Yeah, I think I see a comment about Auburn. I'm not sure if that's for a surprise. I don't see. Yeah, I agree. I'm actually kind of in the process of all the yearbook stuff for those who know, with the Cat's Paws yearbook, where we have the SEC section and just do quick previews on every team in the league. So I was reading through, doing some research on Auburn, and I just don't see them taking that big of a step in year two with Hugh Freeze. I mean, they did some good things. Yeah, and that game's at home. But we saw them play great against Alabama. They always play great against Alabama in Auburn. That seems to always happen. But, you know, their quarterback situation, it looks like it's going to be Peyton Thorne again. It's kind of – he's all right. He's not great. They lost some key pieces to the defense in the NFL draft. Jalen Simpson, who led the team with interceptions at four, got drafted. They lost some pieces, and their wide receiver room isn't great. They're a team where I think you should be able to get them at home. This all could change. I mean, we'll see what happens. The portal's still open to, not for entries, but open to sign guys. So that could change some things. But Auburn's a game I look at, like, you better take care of business in that one. Florida, it's always hard to go down. I know Kentucky's won three in a row against them. That it's going to be their homecoming game, which is kind of funny, but that will be a hard game. It's Florida at Florida, but that roster, man, is just not that good. It's not. It's young. They have a great freshman class coming in. So I think the future, I still think they're on an okay trajectory from that standpoint, but they didn't do – like, they have the one receiver in Eugene Wilson back. They lose Ricky Pearsall, who we all just watched get drafted. Mm-hmm. Graham Mertz is back, but you lose Travis, I always get the first names mixed up, but you lose Etienne, you lose Princey. Yeah, Trevor. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and you lose your leading guy in sacks, and Princely cannot pronounce his last name, but he transferred to Ole Miss. Like, you lose James, the linebacker. Like, they're a mess, in my opinion. I think you've got to win that game.
It's tough out here. If you slip a couple notches in this SEC, it's hard to gain that ground back.
They're kind of in the boat Tennessee was in under Pruitt, and then at the end of Butch, right, where they are just in a really tough spot. So I think Auburn and Florida are the two games that you could kind of say are swing that you have to win. And then the other one, it's South Carolina. right? I don't think like they should have. We know the last 2 years. Well, they caught, you give them their flowers. They, at the end of the 2022 season, they caught heat, right? And they beat Clemson at Clemson. They beat Tennessee to a pulp. And Tennessee was, you know, having their best year in 20 years. Mm-hmm. Like, you give them their flowers for that. But when they came to Kentucky that night in Lexington, if Kentucky had anyone that could have played quarterback at a higher level, they win that game. Mm-hmm. And that's not a discredit to Kyle. Like I said, that was an impossible situation. And then last year was an embarrassment to lose to them, quite frankly. Yeah. One of the worst defenses in the country, had like one starting offensive lineman left, just a mess with injuries. Mm-hmm. It was just a mess of all messes, and you couldn't take advantage. This year, Carolina, they added some guys. I think the running game will be a lot better because they did a great job in adding running backs there. They added, obviously, Rocket Sanders. They added the kid from North Texas and South Carolina State. So they completely redid that room. But Lenore Sellers, just like Brock Vandegrift, is going to be making his first start ever week one and will make his ACC debut week two in Lexington. Their defense, not great. Last year, didn't get much better over the offseason. Their offensive line, I don't know enough, but I know their one guy that they love down there, forget the name, who was like their most solid player on the line, transferred out. So, like, that is a team you need to beat. Like, you cannot, and it's at home, and it's in week two. Like, if you want to see, if you want to give the fans hope that this could be a special season, you have to, because they will check out earlier than usual this year, because you play Carolina week two, and I don't think anyone's going to pick Kentucky to win week three against Georgia. Yeah, right. Like, maybe they will, but probably not. If you start 1-2, everyone's ready for Mark Pope in year one. No one's talking about the football team. You need to win that South Carolina game and at least start 2-1. So those are the three games that jump out at me as like really manageable. I think Auburn's kind of the, I guess, the surprise of the bunch of maybe they're not going to be that good, but I can't really, you look at the other ones, like if there's a path, like I don't see a path against Georgia. Maybe I'll be wrong. Ole Miss is loaded. Like, if they screw this up, Lane, there's got to be questions about Lane Kiffin. Like, they are loaded, and that's going to be in Oxford. Tennessee, I'm just not, I can't pick them to beat Tennessee till they do it. I don't think they're that far behind in talent with Tennessee. I think Tennessee probably still has an edge that they can't figure out that offensive scheme yet. Yeah. That gives them an edge alone. I think they're obviously upgrading a quarterback this year. I still don't, like, I'm not in love with that Tennessee roster, but I like it. I think it's definitely serviceable. That game's in Knoxville, so I don't know how that one's going to go. And then, you know, Texas, same thing as kind of Ole Miss, right, where they're loaded. They reloaded in the portal, you know, adding those two guys from Bama, Isaiah Bond, Amari Nyblack. They redid their wide receiver room because they lost a bunch of those guys to the NFL. Like, they're in really good shape to succeed year one in the SEC. So, like, I can't pick them to win any of those three games. So then you're looking at those four that are kind of seen at, or those three that are kind of seen as the toss-up. Like, you got to go get those and take care of the rest of the games on your schedule. And I'm not even bringing up Louisville because I feel comfortable against Louisville until proven otherwise. Just same thing as Tennessee on Kentucky side, where I'm just not going to worry about Louisville until they give me a reason to worry. So
let everybody keep picking them. That's kind of how you feel.
Yeah, everyone, let them keep it. It's free money at this point. I mean, and again, like, I was going through Louisville, and I try to, you know, I'm very objective. I'm not going to tell you BS. Like, look, I'd love to tell you Tennessee's going to suck next year. They're not. They're a good football team. Yeah. I'd love to tell you, like, they're going to go and steamroll Georgia. No, they're probably going to lose to Georgia. But I just look through Louisville's roster, and I don't see it. I didn't see it last year. Obviously, they get exposed at the end of the year. They, you know, you give them credit for doing what they did. They were 10-1. They won the games they should have. Great. But I just, when push comes to shove, man, they made a ton of portal additions, but, like, outside, they got the one receiver from South Alabama and the one from Bama. Those two guys, okay, I could see them having a better wide receiver room. Jack Plummer is a better quarterback than Tyler Shough, who's never played a full season. Like, their quarterback situation's messy. Their running back situation now, where they lose two NFL draft picks and Penny Boone leaves. Yeah. The running back room is messy. The defense was okay. Not like they have a great pass rusher in what's the kid's name? Jelani. Austin Jelani might be the best pass rusher in the ACC, one of the better ones coming back to college football. But secondary-wise, they lost a lot of pieces there, and I'm not so sure on the guys they added. So, like, I definitely think 8-4 should be what fans are expecting. I think that's fair. I think that that is a fair ask. I think there's a path to 9-3, but I think 8-4, I think that should be an expectation with this schedule. I truly, truly believe that with the talent that Kentucky has on this roster.
And that's still, you know, yeah, it'd still be a step up from the past couple of years, you know, 2.75s to go 8-4 with a tough schedule. You know,
you have three. I mean, when you're talking Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss, those are three national championship contenders on your roster, and two of them are on the road. And I think that might be Texas's last home game of the year, too. Like, that is a really tough slate. You're not going to, like, that is going to be tough to manage, but there are a lot of games on that schedule where you start going through those rosters and it's like, man, like, you gotta, if you're saying who you are now at Kentucky, you gotta win those games.
Just Knicks up 8 into the third quarter somehow.
Brunson's back and the vibes are great again.
Man, this, it looks like this should be the end of the game. This is Eastern Conference, and we're talking 99 points at the end of the third for the Knicks.
Welcome to the NBA, hey, in man. 2024. it ain't what it used to be.
Yeah. And I know, kind of bounced around. Joker wins his third MVP. They're in trouble, but the third MVP for the big fella, gotta, hey, that's,
look, I love him, but how do, I hate it for Shea. I hate it for Shea.
Yeah.
I just think you could give it to, and I say this as a compliment, you can give it to him every year. You could literally give it to him every year if you wanted to, and you can't really argue it. But 30 points a game, you know, shooting the lights out, rebounds, he assists at a high level, you know, top 20 in the league in assists, near perfect at the free throw line. I mean, and just what he did with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't even know, when's the last time they were in the playoffs? Was KD playing for them? Like, it's been, I know they were in the play-in last year, but like, they have been just piling up first round draft picks for 20 years. It feels like, not really, more like 5, but you know what I mean? It feels like they've been, all they've been doing is tanking and getting first round picks for 10 or for half a decade since KD left the team. And that roster is very uber talented. It should be with all the high draft picks they have, but young, like one of the youngest in the NBA and playing in the West, which is much more top heavy than the East.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And they go get the number one seed, and he leads them to that. And he puts up the numbers he did. I just, I don't get it. I think you take him off the Thunder, are they even a playoff team? I mean, you could probably say that about the Nuggets, but you know, you got some vets like Jamal Murray, who's the star there in Denver. Like, I think they're at least like an 8 seed if you take Jokic off that team. I just think when you're talking most valuable player, you take Shea and give the Thunder that young roster without him.
Yeah, it's
I hate that for him. But again, I love Jokic. He's one of the funnest watches left out there in the NBA. His personality is incredible. And it's not even a Kentucky bias situation where it would be really cool. I know Kentucky's players never won NBA MVP. Mm-hmm. I just think you look at the numbers, you look at the facts with what they were able to do as a team, and him being the catalyst of it. I don't know how you don't give him it, but maybe next year.
And Shaq even said that to Jokic. You know, he says, as a president of the Big Man Alliance, I think that SGA should have won MVP. He said it right to him. They interviewed him, and Jokic was like, "Yo, I love you, Shaq, but that's your opinion or whatever." And they were you know, friendly about it.
Sure,
but Shaq, as a fellow big man, and you know, he's all about, you know, keeping it loyal to the bigs. And he said he even thought, you know, Shea should have got it this year,
no doubt.
And the thing about it, look, we're seeing, you know, it always happens at some point, you know, the whole changing of the guard with the, you know, young talent coming in. But it's really, you know, Ant Edwards, 22 years old, Shea doing what he's doing. These young guys are, I mean, they are here and they are trying to come in and win right now. Mm-hmm. I know Minnesota had a good team. I know they play great defense. And I was talking to a guy earlier, you know, they gave Denver their toughest test last year, but I still wasn't taking them as seriously as I should have until they stole game one. And then they come in game two and beat them by 30. So I'm like, man. And, you know, Ant's doing what he's doing, and he's got franchise player written all over him.
He didn't even have the defensive player of the year in that game yesterday.
Shea's doing what he's doing. If Luka better be careful, he's going to kind of get pushed on out of the way. He's 25, 26, and these young guys are, you know, before you know it.
Jalen Brunson's right there, man. Yeah. I mean, he was a fifth in MVP voting, and what he's done, they take him off my Knicks. Oh my! Oh, you saw what happened just now. Like, you see what he does when he's even just his presence, man. So, yeah, I agree. Like, it is the talent. It's fun that there's parity in the NBA again. I'll admit, I'm just a guy who loves the college game. I have a little more of an affinity for it. I mean, maybe because I cover it. I don't have the same feel with the NFL. I love it equally, if not more, still. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the NBA, I just have a. I think it's the whole defense thing. I'm just so much. Oh, now OG Anunoby's out the rest of the game. The Knicks can't catch a break. Uh-huh. But it's just there's something about college basketball. But with the NBA now, what's exciting is you have these different teams making noise, like Denver winning it all last year. You have Minnesota, what they're doing. You have the Knicks, what they're doing. Indiana, what they're doing. Like this 6 years ago, 5 years, 4 years ago, this ain't happened. It was the Warriors and the Cavs every year. Yeah. Warriors and the Heat, Thunder and the Heat. It was like a select six teams that had a chance. And now you got 8 to 10 teams that have a chance. So I think it's good for the game that these stars are spread out throughout the league.
That's for sure. Can't leave out UK baseball, man.
Yeah, that was big.
2 out of 3 from Arkansas you know, and getting run ruled Sunday in South Carolina, and then you get Hagan Smith. That could put you in a bad spot, you know, and then they shake all that off and come back and win, you know, what, 11 runs. Nobody even scored 10 runs on Arkansas all season.
They beat them up.
11, and then 7-4 on Sunday. Still in first place. Still got a, you know, it's not over. Still got work to do. Yeah. But to me, you know, you get through that little rough patch of Tennessee, Arkansas. Florida hasn't been Florida all year. We don't need them to play lights out this weekend. Keep on playing like they've been playing. But Florida and Vanderbilt, you end the season with teams that are more manageable, and it's there for them if they can just handle business.
100%. It is right there for them, and the schedule is good. It really is. You look at those names, and you're like, oh, boy. But Florida has not had a good – like, they are going to be a desperate team because they still have some hope to make the – I don't really understand how. I guess I haven't looked at the RPI. It must be good enough. But they are 25-23. They are 10-14 in the conference. That's probably why, you know, their conference record, if they can get to 13, 14 wins, they'll get the puncher's chance. Mm-hmm. But so they'll play a desperate Florida team this weekend, but a very much beatable Florida team. This Florida team got swept by Missouri. Like, it is a very beatable Florida team. And then Vanderbilt is not having their typical Vanderbilt year. Mm-hmm. They're just not the same big bad Vanderbilt that, usually you're afraid of when you see him, and that's Kentucky's final home series. So they'll have more home series in the playoffs, but you know, they're, you know what I mean? Last regular season home. So it's manageable. And you look at who you need to lose. You're going to have you'll have the tiebreaker with Arkansas, but Tennessee is the team that you're fighting directly with. I think more so because Tennessee has that tiebreaker over you. Mm-hmm. Tennessee's schedule, you know, I just gave you Kentucky with Florida and Vanderbilt. Tennessee's got South Carolina, who they gave Kentucky a really hard time, and they got to go to Vandy, where the emotion, like, it's, you know, there's a different vibe with Tennessee and Vandy playing each other than Kentucky and Vandy. Tennessee and Vandy, that series, those two teams really go at it, and you're going to get the best. It's Vandy's last home series of the year. You're going to get Vanderbilt's best. Not to say Kentucky won't, but there's a little bit of a different element of it when Tennessee has to play them. So I think Kentucky has the schedule advantage there. And I think they have a good chance, but the key is win both series. That you just got to take two or three from both, and you should find yourself in a pretty good spot.
How's Tennessee only played 12 road games?
Well, that would be, I think that has to do with, they must not have, like, their midweek games. They must have just not gone on the road much. Whereas Kentucky elected, because remember, Kentucky likes to try to go. They tried to go play at Xavier. That game got canned.
Mm-hmm.
They try to play those games. Like, they started the year at USC Upstate playing on the road. They went to Round Rock and played in that tournament, played a couple teams, and played a game at Samford on their way to Auburn. And then the Louisville game got rained out, so the only Louisville game they got to play was the one in Louisville. So I just think the way Kentucky schedules things is why. If we're up to Kentucky, well, if Kentucky wanted to, they could have played them at home. And 2022, that's what they were doing. They were playing all these midweek games at home, but they realized, hey, if we lose them, it kills us in the RPI. So we're just going to go play on the road, and they won't hurt us as much. God forbid we drop one. And if we win them, it helps us more. So I think that Ming just made it an effort to play some more road games because it kind of boosts some numbers. And I'm just looking through Tennessee right now. I mean, I don't see them playing any midweek games on the road this year. I think they played played the event down in Arlington at Globe Life Field early in the year.
Right.
They played UNC Asheville at home, Albany. Like, they played all their, you know, their midweek / non-conference series at home. So that's a Kentucky choice.
Lost to Lipscomb, and they struggled with Queens.
Yeah, they did.
Right. But I mean, you got factored in rainouts and stuff. But Kentucky's played the fewest home games of any team.
Yeah, and that's a Nick Mangione choice, and I think last year it had to be similar because they started the year, they went to Elon to start the year. They went to Elon, they played a road game at Western Kentucky, and even this year I think they played a road game at Eastern Kentucky as well. They played a road game at Louisville. Oh no, that game was canceled. They only played them at home. Yeah, so they played more home games last year. They finished with 30 home games. So that's last year. This year they've played how many home games? They've played
24.
They'll finish with 27. So yeah, they'll play three less, but that's all by design. And I guess now looking at it, if they played 30 home games last year, those 30, you take out the three, they played a home series early in the year last year that they didn't because they went to Texas to play in that event instead in Round Rock. So that's why it was nothing. The SEC, Kentucky didn't get screwed is the point.
Right.
They decided to challenge themselves in that regard.
All right, you're making it make sense. I was just wanting to fuss. I was wanting to fuss about it. I'm like, well, I'm not fuss. I didn't really fuss. I was just kind of pointing it out. Like,
no, you're right. Yeah. When you pointed that, I saw your tweet about that. When you pointed that out, I was like, why? And then I was like, oh, well, that was a whole Minch thing. So,
Which, I mean, you avoid the RPI killers. You know, you don't want to. If they dropped the UAB game, but it was on the road, like you said, so. Not as it was UAB, wasn't it, before Auburn? Or
yes,
or Samford. Samford.
Yeah, they've lost that game. Yeah, Samford. Yeah.
So yes. not as damaging since it was down there. Yeah. So hey, I mean, you can't really complain about it. So I was just, but it was just curious. And I was thinking, is it weather related? I'm like, but you know, Missouri's just as north as we are. Is that why they had so many few home games? But you know, playing in Texas and all the other stuff too. It makes sense.
No doubt about it. And I think it's been a very beneficial schedule for them. I think it'll help them in the long run, and it'll help them look at their seed. They're projected the number one overall seed in the country.
Right.
And that's with a very similar resume to Tennessee, a very similar resume to Texas A&M, Arkansas, but they played a lot of those games on the road to boost the numbers. So it might end up helping them in that regard.
Could get home field throughout if you just finish the season strong. It's right, like you said. Yeah. Remember how it was having to go to Baton Rouge last year for that regional? Now the team's having to come to Lexington for a super regional if they stay the course, man.
Yeah, and they'll definitely have to. They'll definitely play at least one weekend in Lex. The question is, will they play two? And as long as they – really, as long as they don't go like 1-5, 0-6, they're going to be playing – I don't think they've ever had a super regional. I don't know if – 2006, maybe they were – I know they lost, right? They lost in regionals in 06. So I don't know if they – that year that what their national seed was, but it would definitely be their first super regional in Lexington if they get there.
Man, good stuff. Good stuff, man. A lot of good stuff this entire episode, man.
Absolutely.
Trent Noah, Gavin Wimsett.
So probably the busiest, definitely the busiest June I've been a part of, or May, or May. It's been the busiest May I've been a part of since being on the UK beat, or just being in Lexington for that matter. So plenty to still talk about here.
Yeah. Well, good stuff. I always enjoy reading your work at the Catch Paws. Looking forward you already teased the yearbook stuff. So we're looking forward to putting the order in and getting that in the mail and reading both of those when those come out too. So good stuff there. Y'all forget, you know, we got merch too, believe.com/shop. Get yourself a Cat Daddy shirt that we have in blue, white, or gray. And if you want to advertise your business or product on the podcast, you can go to believe.com/advertise or send us a message. We'd love to talk about your business or product and promote it on the podcast as well. So we appreciate everybody that comments, appreciate everybody that watches. It's still available on all the listening platforms too, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Appreciate y'all watching, listening, following, commenting, subscribing. Definitely appreciate each and every bit of it. So, man, absolutely. AG, appreciate you coming on and dropping knowledge. And we'll get Jalen back on when he's able to. He got a lot of stuff going on, but he's be back with some football knowledge as well. And we'll just keep rolling on through the spring and the summer. And, hey, we'll have, you know, tennis is doing their thing too. Can't forget. They're in the tournament. Rolling, having another strong season just like they did, you know, last year. Took care of business with DePaul in the first round, and, you know, handled business this past weekend at home. So keep your eye on them. And, you know, everybody looks at the main sports, but these other sports too, they put just as much work in as football and basketball do. So good stuff, man. And we appreciate everybody that's taking the time to check out this podcast for another episode of Believe in Kentucky. Aaron Gershaw, my name is Vinny Hardy. We'll see y'all next Wednesday for another episode. Everybody be safe and take care, especially in this weather that's crazy out there. Y'all be safe.
Absolutely.
See y'all.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.